Okay, so today we're going deep on a huge concept in the Gospel of John.
Eternal life.
Exactly, eternal life.
Definitely a big one.
Yeah, so think of this like we're going on a guided tour straight into what this idea really means.
And we've got a great guide for this trip.
Yeah, we do. We're going to be looking at Dr. Robert E. Peterson's work on Johannine theology.
Oh, fantastic.
Specifically his session on salvation, eternal life.
Great.
Really diving deep here.
Excellent.
So today we want to really get a clear picture of what eternal life means in John's gospel.
Sounds good.
So where does he introduce it? How do we actually get it? And how does it connect to everything else going on in John?
Right. Those big themes.
Right. Light, belief, and of course, the role of Jesus.
Absolutely.
So Peterson takes us right to the beginning.
That's right. The prologue.
Yeah. John 1.1 to 5.
Sets the scene.
It does. He really wants us to see how John introduces the word, the Logos, right?
Right, from the start.
Yeah, and he emphasizes that it was with God before anything else.
Pre-existing.
Yeah, and then he hits us with that huge statement, in him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Wow.
Right, and Peterson points out that whenever we see that Greek word zoe for life.
No way.
Yeah, it always refers to this eternal life.
Consistently throughout John.
Throughout John, yep. So right away, John is connecting Jesus through the Logos with this very specific kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I think what's so important there is that Jesus is connecting the word with, like, true life. You know, not just existing, but really living. And that life is what illuminates humanity.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, we see Jesus, the word is the source of life itself, and it's an eternal life that comes before creation.
Exactly. Peterson also points out that this eternal life, it resided in the word who is like the agent of creation.
Wow.
Like, think about that. The source of everything is this eternal life within the Logos.
Incredible.
Right? And this is how Peterson sees it. This is how God first revealed himself to
us. Yes, a general revelation.
General revelation, right? Yeah. Creation pointing back to the creator.
That's powerful.
It is. And yet Peterson also connects this with other parts of the New Testament.
Like where?
Colossians 1, Hebrews 1.
Oh, yeah.
Which also described the Son as the Father's instrument in creation.
Right.
It really shows us just how active the Son is right from the beginning.
From the very start, yeah.
But Peterson says something really important here. He says this part of John 1, it's not really about how we get saved.
Okay.
It's about where this eternal life comes from.
It originates with the Word.
Yeah, the second person of the Trinity.
The Logos.
Right, who then comes into the world as the Liker.
Okay.
He's still revealing God, but now in a way that saves us.
Saves and illuminates.
Yes, illuminates those who are in spiritual darkness.
Right, so now the question becomes, how do we get this eternal life?
Right, how do we actually experience this?
How do we receive it?
And Peterson says we need to look at John 3.1418 and 3.3536.
Got it.
So he unpacks that analogy of Moses and the serpent in the desert.
Right.
Remember how the Israelites looked at the bronze serpent and were healed? Well, Peterson says, in the same way, believing in the Son brings us eternal life.
It's that simple.
It is. And he explains that this eternal life, it's God's own life given to those who are living in darkness.
Living in darkness.
Yeah, the darkness of sin and of not knowing God.
It's a powerful image, isn't it? That idea of saving illumination.
It is darkness turning into light. Ignorance becoming understanding. Sin turning to holiness.
Wow, a total transformation.
Exactly. Yeah. And so when we believe, God's own life starts to shine inside of us, and it pushes away that darkness.
That's awesome. Right. And then, of course, you have John 3.16.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows John 3.16.
One of the most famous verses in the Bible.
It is. Peterson says that eternal life here, it's the opposite of perishing.
Right.
And perishing ultimately means being eternally separated from God.
So it's not just about living forever.
No, it's about what that eternal life is actually like.
The quality of that life.
Right. So what do you think is the key point here?
Well, I think it means that eternal life is not just about avoiding non-existence.
Yeah.
It's about a specific kind of existence, right?
Right.
It's about being with God.
Yes.
So perishing isn't just ceasing to be. It's existing eternally, but separated from God.
That's a really good point. And Peterson also says that God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but to save it.
God of love.
Yeah, and it all comes down to belief.
Right.
Those who believe aren't condemned, but those who don't believe are already condemned because they haven't believed in God's Son.
So belief is crucial.
It is. And Peterson says this eternal life, it's not just something we'll get in the future.
Okay.
It's something believers have right now.
It's a present reality.
It is. We step into it through faith.
That's so encouraging.
It is. And on the other hand, John 3.36 tells us that if we reject the Son, we don't experience this life.
Right.
And God's wrath stays on us.
There's a present consequence.
Yeah. So there are consequences to unbelief even now.
Both now and in the future.
Right. And Peterson connects this to the son's authority.
How so?
Well, the father loves the son and has given him authority over everything. So our response to the son, whether we believe and obey or not,
it has eternal consequences.
It does, both now and in the future.
Huge.
Yeah. And Peterson reminds us of John 17.3, where eternal life is defined as knowing the Father and the Son.
Right.
It's more than just existing forever.
More than just time.
It's about a deep personal relationship.
A transformed life.
Yes. Having the life of God in us.
What resonates with you most about this definition of eternal life as knowing God?
Well, what strikes me is the relational aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's not just knowing facts about God.
Right.
It's a deep, intimate knowledge of him and his son.
Experiential.
Yes. A connection that changes who we are.
Okay.
Let's look at John chapter 4, the woman at the well.
Oh, a great story.
It is. Mm. And Peterson says it's a total contrast to Nicodemus in chapter 3.
Yeah.
Nicodemus is this respected religious leader.
Right.
And then you have this Samaritan woman who's an outsider and has a tough past.
The irony.
Is God humbles the proud and lifts up the humble.
So what do you think this tells us about who can receive eternal life?
Well, I think it shows that God's grace is for everyone.
Right.
It doesn't matter what your social status is or your religious background or your past.
God's grace is universal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyone can receive it if they believe.
Anyone.
Yeah.
Right.
And Jesus offers this woman living water.
Right.
And Peterson points out the double meaning there.
The literal and the spiritual.
Yeah, he's talking about real water, but also the spiritual water that only Jesus can give.
Okay.
He says, drinking from Jacob's will quench your thirst for a while.
Right.
But then you'll be thirsty again.
You'll need more.
But whoever drinks the water Jesus gives will never be thirsty again.
What does that mean for us when we think about eternal life?
Well, I think it means that only God can truly satisfy us.
Okay.
The things of this world, they might make us feel good for a bit.
But it's temporary.
It is. But Jesus gives us living water that quenches our spiritual thirst forever.
It leads to true fulfillment.
Yes. And that's eternal life. And this spiritual water, it becomes like a spring inside of it.
It wells up.
It does. It's an internal transformation that nourishes us spiritually and leads to eternal life.
So beautiful.
It is. Peterson even suggests that this water might be connected to the Holy Spirit.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Though John doesn't say that explicitly here.
Right.
But the main point is clear. Jesus is the one who gives eternal life.
And he offers it freely.
He does. Even to those we might not expect.
As long as they believe.
Yes, exactly. And then in John chapter 5, we see another side of Jesus as the life giver.
Right. Verses 21 and 24, 25.
Yeah. Peterson says that just like the Father raises the dead and gives them life, the Son gives life to whoever he wants.
He has the power to do that.
He does. And Peterson thinks this is about spiritual regeneration.
Being born again.
Yes, rather than just the future resurrection.
So it's about the Son's authority to give eternal life.
It is.
And it's his choice.
Yes. And then in verse 24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life.
Wow.
Right. Peterson points out how close Jesus' words and eternal life are connected.
It's like his words are eternal life.
Yeah. It's almost like what we call metonymy.
Metonymy.
Yeah. Where something is referred to by something closely related to it.
Okay. I see.
So Jesus' words are so full of eternal life that they can be seen as eternal life itself.
That's powerful.
It is. So what stands out to you in that promise about having eternal life and not facing judgment?
Well, the present tense has eternal life is huge.
Like,
it just
sure.
shows that we have it now.
The already but not yet.
Exactly. And the promise of not facing judgment is such a relief for believers.
It is. It means our standing before God has completely changed because of Jesus.
Totally.
And then that phrase, an hour is coming and is now here.
Right.
It emphasizes that eternal life is a present reality.
We don't have to wait.
No, those who are spiritually dead hear Jesus and they live.
A spiritual resurrection.
Yes. A regeneration happening now.
Mm.
And Peterson also explains that just like the Father has life in himself, he's given the Son to have life in himself too.
Right.
And that gives him authority to judge.
Okay.
Now, Peterson focuses here on the Son after he became human.
The incarnate Son.
Yes, and his role in giving life and judgment.
Right, and there will also be a physical resurrection in the future.
Yes, when Jesus returns.
So Jesus is more than just talking about eternal life.
Right.
He is eternal life.
He is eternal life in human form. What's the biggest takeaway for you from that?
Well, I think it shows that Jesus is divine
Okay.
and that he can bridge the gap between us and God.
Yes.
He gives us access to his own life.
Exactly. And that brings us to John 17.
Jesus's prayer.
Yes, verses 2 and 3.
Where eternal life is defined.
It is. And this prayer is like the heart of John's gospel.
Yeah, especially about Jesus and the Father.
Exactly. Jesus prays that he would be glorified so that he can glorify the Father.
And what?
Because the Father gave him authority over all people so that he could give eternal life to everyone the Father has given him.
Wow. So that idea of God choosing people.
Election.
Yes. How does that fit with believing?
It's a mystery, isn't it?
It is.
It shows us that God takes the first step in saving us.
But we still have to believe.
We do. Those two truths are both in the Bible.
It's a tension.
It is. And then Jesus defines eternal life.
He says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Right. And Peterson really wants us to see that eternal life is about knowing God personally.
Knowing the Father and the Son.
Yes. It's relational and qualitative.
Not just about time.
Exactly. Peterson says that eternal death is also unending. But eternal life is different because of what that life is like.
Being in relationship with God.
Yes. So what part of that definition resonates most with you?
Well, I think it's that shift from just existing forever to the kind of existence we have.
Right.
It's about a transformed life where we're connected to God.
Beautiful. And then we come to the end of John.
Chapter 20.
Yeah, verses 30 and 31, where John tells us why he wrote his gospel.
It brings everything full circle.
It does. John says that Jesus did tons of other signs and miracles that aren't even in this book.
He couldn't write them all down?
He couldn't. Peterson even talks about the hyperbole there.
What's that?
Well, John says the whole world couldn't contain all the books if everything Jesus did was written down.
Wow.
Right. But the signs that are in the gospel, they have a specific purpose.
What is?
So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
So powerful.
It is. And Peterson points out that the word life is used at the beginning of the gospel in John 1.3 and at the very end in John 20.31.
It bookends the whole gospel.
It is highlighting that this theme of life is central to everything John is saying.
So why do you think John wrote his gospel?
Well, I think he wanted people to believe in Jesus.
To become believers.
Yes, and to receive eternal life.
That's the goal.
It is. He wasn't just writing a history book.
Right.
He wanted people to meet Jesus through his words and be transformed.
To experience eternal life.
That's right. So let's recap what we've learned about eternal life from John's gospel and from Dr. Peterson.
Okay.
Eternal life. It starts with the word, the Son of God, who existed before anything else.
The Logos.
Yes. And we receive it by believing in Jesus.
It's a gift.
It is. And it's not just something we get later on.
We have it now.
Believers have it right now.
Yeah.
It's about knowing God personally.
The Father and the Son.
Yes. And it changes us completely.
And ultimately, this is why John wrote his gospel.
Yes. So that people would believe in Jesus and have life through him.
So it's not just about living forever. Right?
No. It's about the quality of that life.
Right.
It's about knowing God and being transformed by him.
And that changes everything about how we live now.
It does. So for you listening, here's something to think about.
Okay.
If eternal life isn't just a reward in the future, but something we can experience right now through faith in Jesus.
Hmm.
And if it's all about knowing God.
Really knowing him.
Yes. Then how does that change how you see your own life right now?
Right now.
And how you relate to God?
That's a great question to ponder.
It is. Thanks for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Take care.
You too.